The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
In the words of Ogre, welcome.
Ogre, as in Revenge of the Nerds, Ogre. Is that to the games?
No, when the nerds turned up to the
into the gym.
Yes, and he just opened the doors and he just goes, welcome.
I might have been watching a little bit of Takashi.
Yeah, Takashi's the only card poker player ever to get beaten with a thrush, and he had the other bloke had 2 sevens. Booger beat him with 2 sevens, but there's Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. Just going back to that movie, Kingy.
Yes.
Do you recall? Have you watched it quite closely? Do you recall when they were having the competition to raise money and the nerds were selling an extraordinary amount of pie?
Yes. That's when they had the...
they had the picture of Stan's scantily clad girlfriend under the bottom of the pie, and all the pie was just cream out of the can, and they'd whip it around, and then Stan came over and just grabbed one off the nerds and removed the cream off it. And do you know what he said when he looked down?
What?
He goes, "That's my pie." there's some quality lines in that... In that movie.
Very childish.
Yeah, very childish, and particularly when they had to camp out in the gym and they had the stroganoff.
Yeah.
You've got to be careful how you say that, King. The stroganoff. And
I like a good beef stroganoff.
Yeah, so do I. And the basketball landed in the stroganoff, and one of the mushrooms flew out and hit the bloke in front of Booger in the line.
Are you going to eat that?
You're going to eat this. No, it was all good. It was good. Cats were good, I thought, too, Kingy, on the weekend.
Yeah, nice little challenge was thrown at
very
them.
Very good.
And responded with names that haven't had to probably respond before.
Yes, they did. Using a racing parlance, they responded to a bit of hard riding. Yeah, I mean, Adelaide threw everything at them, and we talked about it in the pre-game that Adelaide are an ascending side. They're obviously probably a year or two away from being, I think, a genuine premiership contender, but I reckon they're fashioning a side that will compete for the premiership in a few years' time, and they've got a lot of younger blokes who you don't know much about who are pretty good players, and they threw the kitchen sink at the Cats, and Geelong were able to withstand that. As you mentioned there, some younger players stood up. Obviously, late in the game, Tanner Bruin, I thought, was good. Ollie Henry kicking the goal that basically sealed the game. I thought, Radaglia, 10 coaches' votes again. He was absolutely superb. And I thought Collar Jasny and Mark O'Connor. O'Connor was probably his best game for the year. So it wasn't the traditional names. I mean, Tom Stewart played well. But it wasn't those names that we're sort of synonymous with. Hawkins and Cameron were okay. But you have to say Butts did a pretty good job on Hawkins. He's a good player. Butts, he's another one you don't know much about. Played about 50 games now. Who's a rising key defender. Losing Murray hurt them.
Yeah.
That did hurt them. But Geelong were able to take advantage. They kept them at arm's length pretty much for the whole contest. And it was just a solid, gritty win.
At this time of year, you just need to sometimes 100%. Just find a way.
They're going to have to produce something like that, Kingy, to win on Friday night. I think it's a bit of a danger game. We talked about it just before, but probably starting to reach a critical mass of players out. I know you went to the press conference just before, and Jai Clark is going to make his debut.
Yeah, he is, which is fantastic news. But whether he makes it in the 22 or as the sub, we won't find out until tomorrow night. But he will be part of the 23.
And Parfitt, the other one to come
in. Parfitt will come in as well. So two changes, Dangerfield and Close out. What do you make of the Bradley Close suspension?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I don't know where the game's heading, to be honest with you, Kingy.
Well, it's all about protecting the head, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is. But, I mean, you have to have defied physics to keep his head from touching the ground.
Mm.
I mean, they wanted him to let him go just before he hit the ground. It's a physical impossibility.
That is.
You've got 0.01 of a second to organise that.
Mm.
Just not going to happen.
No.
You've got a bloke that probably weighs, 12 kilos more than Brad Close,
yeah,
whose momentum was going one way.
So you'd have Dawson sort of high 80s.
Oh, I would have thought Dawson's probably in the 90s.
Yeah, doing Close early 80s.
Yeah, there might even be 13 or 14 kilos. You might be able to look that up, Kingy. I don't know whether they have those from Champion Data. They have those weights. But I'd have to say it would be a minimum of 10, possibly up to 13-odd kilo difference. Dawson tried to break the tackle initially, and then he realised that he wasn't going to be able to break the tackle because it was such a good tackle. So he just succumbed. He just fell to the ground because he wanted a stoppage. He thought, that's my best chance of not getting pinged for holding the ball, because he tried to break it. So technically it was holding the ball because he tried to break the tackle initially, couldn't. Close pinned his arms, and then Dawson has succumbed to the tackle, hoping he just lay on the ball and the umpire would call for a ball up. And that and his head hit the ground. So his own momentum was equally the cause of his hitting the ground as it was for Close's tackle. Now, if where do we go from here? That's a perfect tackle. How do you he's been suspended, he can't play this week. So how do you then coach him? How do you go back and say, okay, you can't tackle like that, you need to tackle like this? You just need to not tackle. Because any tackle, I just that kid from Melbourne,
Van Rooyen.
What the WTF?
Yep.
He's gone to spoil and he's the ball shaved his forearm, I reckon. So he's missed it by an by a you know a poofteenth,
yeah,
and that's an official measurement. That is an official measurement. Yeah,
that is in the Department of Weights and Measures.
That is in the Urban Dictionary, a poofteenth. You have to use it in a sentence. And it says Jacob Van Rooyen missed the spoil by a poofteenth, and he's hit him in the head. It was completely accidental. I don't think there's. I was watching it, thinking, oh well.
Well, hence why Melbourne have taken it to the appeals board.
Oh, and they've got surely who was on there? Who was on the tribunal?
No, I don't know.
I just find it extraordinary. He's been suspended for an accident. So what we're saying now, there's no such thing as an accident in AFL footy. You got 36 players running around at a zillion miles an hour, weighing anywhere from 85 to 105 kilos, and you're expecting there to be no injuries. I think we're treading a. And I get the sling tackle. The sling tackle is when you have a player in point A and you sling him to point B. I get that. That's a motion. You've actually chose to do that. You haven't dropped at the knees. You haven't just held him up in the tackle. You've chosen to go from point A to point B and to rip him to the ground at the same time. That opens up the chance of injury. Close didn't do that. There was no slinging it at all. All that happened was his head hit the ground. He gets up. Charlie Ballard, they actually... I thought the crew from MASH were going to come out. Like, they wheeled him off. He jumped off fine playing this week, isn't he?
Dun, dun, dun,
I think he's playing this week.
Hawkeye
actually treated him on the ground. And then Klinger was there too. But so it was all dramatic.
Do you know where he was from?
Klinger?
Yep.
Yeah, I went to school with a guy called Klinger.
Boise, Idaho.
Really?
Yep.
Was he?
Yep, that was his hometown.
So a Klinger was in my
ear. Oh, no, that was Radar. Was that Radar?
I used to call him Klinger.
Yeah, right.
Vin, his name was Vince. What is his name? Anyway, right. we're digressing.
We did digress.
And I find the whole thing... And look, I don't jump up and down about all that sort of stuff generally. I think it's a sport now trying to rub blokes out after the game.
But why are you trying to rub blokes out?
Well, the media, it's like, have a look at this. Is this going to get weeks? Like, for God's sake.
But that's not influencing what Michael Christian does.
I'm not saying it's influencing. I'm saying it's just become a sport. Post every game.
Clickbait.
Oh, it does my head in.
I know it does. Actually, you're a bit old school.
It infuriates me.
Just want to ask, how are you, by the way? We did the podcast last week via Zoom, and you had a rough week. You were crook a couple of weeks
ago. I was crook last week. I didn't do the Essendon game, but I was back in...
And you behaved, too.
Back in the chair. Well, I had to, because Emma was there, so I didn't want to say anything that was just extraordinary and have her fall off her seat, but... So you have to sort of temper. It's a good king, isn't it?
Temper expectations.
No, not expectations.
Temper yourself.
Temper the sort of frivolity. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
We still had good frivolity.
We still had a little bit of frivolity.
If you horse bite me one more time when we're doing those big screen videos, the next thing you're going to feel is a fist.
Well, it's sort of a little lot booing, king. If you, the more you say that, the more I am likely to do that. Because what I thought, I said I won't do this, but what I did think that I was going to do was get a little plastic spider and just launch it onto your shoulder as you were just delivering your spiel.
Wouldn't worry me.
Wouldn't?
No.
What if I was a big live beast?
probably still wouldn't worry me.
It started with hunting and ended in man. I reckon you might sort of do some khaki in your strides. I would have thought. I know I would.
So the Cats will run out with 14 of their Premiership 23 from last year tomorrow night. So 9 missing, Selwood the obvious one as a retirement, but 8 players out of that lineup that would otherwise, if fit, would potentially be running out. It's a
good test.
Nealty talks about you get to a number of high quality players that you can't cover, and it's in that realm now for Geelong. But Richmond aren't too far away from that realm either with their injuries.
So Lynch is obviously not playing. Who else would not be playing for...
Good, that's a good question. I haven't looked at the Richmond
side. I think they're reasonably healthy. Their midfield is intact. And they've got Hopper, Taranto and Prestia. They're all very good players. I think they're all a bit the same. And I reckon it drops off a little bit after that. You know, obviously the Cats are going to be without Dangerfield and Guthrie.
Well, this is Geelong's injury list.
Are they all short-term? Yeah. They're not giving you any weeks anymore. Yeah,
well, Bowe's short-term, yep. Brad Close suspension, Toby Conway foot to be confirmed, Patrick Dangerfield hamstring short-term, De Koning face short-term, Cam Guthrie toe short-term, Jack Henry foot medium-term, Sam Menegola knee medium-term. I'm led to believe that's a little bit longer. We won't be seeing him do well.
I think he's going to struggle to get back in his team.
Will he play for Geelong again?
Oh, well, I wouldn't want to be sort of, you know, going down that road, but he's going to find it very, very difficult.
Mm, he's out of contract at the end of the year too.
Yeah, he won't be. I wouldn't have thought the Cats would be renewing.
Shannon Neal ankle to be confirmed. Gary Rowan.
He's getting close, Shannon Neal, surely.
No, it's still some time.
What?
Yeah, because he's had a surgery to correct an issue that they are confident that he won't have.
And Jack Henry's back?
Jack Henry's back training.
He broke that, what, toe again?
It was foot.
Foot for the third time. Mm. That's something's wrong there.
Yeah, Rowan hamstring short term. Stanley eye socket. Now, we won't see Reece Stanley till after the bye. That's taking a little bit longer than they thought.
Yep.
And Tyson Stengel with a broken arm. He could be back next week.
Right.
So there's a few that could start to get a few filtering back. Yeah, there's a few that could be on the plane to Perth next week.
I just wonder with Cam Guthrie, do you reckon the Cats played him when he had the injury and maybe they shouldn't have played him?
I don't know.
So
you obviously know more than
I just wonder whether that turf toe.
Yeah,
he had it.
It's a joint issue.
It's turf toe. He's got turf toe.
His turf toe in the joint,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. So, but I don't know.
I've never had a toe issue.
Haven't you?
No, I've dipped my toe in the water, but
have you ever had a fetish?
You're an idiot.
What?
What's your
biggest fetish here?
Reese's. Sticks, you know, the peanut butter sticks.
I'm not talking about, as the Americans would describe, candy. I'm talking about, you know, in the four walls of the fart sack. Do you have a fetish?
No, Ben. Huh? I'm moving on, Ben.
I've got a few.
You've got the Batman suit, I know.
What?
I know you've dressed up in the Batman suit.
It's at the dry cleaners at the minute.
Right. Can we move on and talk footy?
Yes, we can.
Because sometimes you go down a path that just leads me down a path of editing out stuff.
There's no need. I mean, everyone has their little sort of, you know, behind closed
doors
stuff. Yeah,
that's cool. We don't need to talk about it here. That's why it's behind closed doors.
Do you know what the 10th most looked at website in the world is? Do you know what it is?
No.
I'm not joking you. There's a documentary, Netflix doco, on this. You would have watched it.
No, what?
Pornhub.
What?
There was a big litigation against the mob that do that.
Right.
So, anyway, it's the 10th most looked at website in the world.
You've contributed.
I don't know what one is.
Right. So that's the Cats injury situation. Just on the Tigers injury-wise. So, yes, as we know, Tom Lynch is struggling with a knee issue.
Yep.
Just some other names. Gibkus is a test. Tom Lynch still out.
Well, Gibkus is a bit player at the
minute. Yeah, he's going to be a good player.
He is, but he's not. You're sort of not thinking.
I'm just looking at names that have played recently.
They don't have many.
Lynch, Nankervis, Rioli
Jr. Is Nankervis still out?
Yeah, I believe so.
Morris Rioli,
hamstring. Ivan Soldo with a foot is a test. Robbie Tarrant is still indefinite with a hip. So I might be able to get him
inside
50 again.
I think if Geelong, it's obviously a critical game for their midfield just to at least break even. Because Geelong's defence is pretty solid. I know De Koning's not there, but it looked pretty good last week. And they've really only got Riewoldt as a tall option up forward. They'll probably throw Miller up there, but he's pretty much a developing player. Colin Jasny probably goes to Riewoldt. He's done a number on him quite a few times. I'd be surprised if they don't go with that matchup. And maybe use Radigalia then as a bit of a, you know, he and Stewart, as, you know, sort of rebounding types who can intercept the ball. Because, I mean, we saw last week that Radigalia is really good at that. He's got his confidence up. You maybe sort of throw him the reins to play a more of an attacking defensive role.
Which he can do.
Yeah, he can because he's so athletic. So it'd be interesting to see what they do there because, I mean, Riewoldt's 193. He's not a Goliath of a key forward. He's a good player. And I think Colin Jasny's 193. So they actually match up. So I reckon without Lynch, Geelong's defence is pretty good. They might struggle to score, but that's dependent on the midfield at least breaking even and not allowing the ball come in. But at the other end too, without Tarrant, they're probably thin, Hawkins and Cameron, particularly Hawkins. mean, who would go to Hawkins? Soldo? Not Soldo, Bolter.
Bolter.
Bolter's having a howling year for whatever reason. I mean, was it 2 years ago he looked like the reincarnation of Alex Rance?
Oh, he's outstanding.
And he's sort of gone a little bit. I'm sure he'll get back to that at some point, but he's not having a good season, Bolter.
Look, it took him three quarters to shake off a very ordinary West Coast.
He's just going. So Geelong might have a few trumps up forward and they might have a few trumps up down back. It will be up to a young midfield. Really looking forward to seeing Tanner Bruin play without Patrick Dangerfield and Cam Guthrie there. Mm. Not no knock, but you know, he'll think, okay, there's a little bit more responsibility on me. And he came good late in that game against Adelaide when Dangerfield went off.
Was there a time where it was Bruin, Holmes and Nevitt in the centre square?
Yeah.
And like tomorrow it could be Bruin, Holmes and Clark, or Bruin, Nevitt and Clark.
Which is exciting for the Cat fans, as long as you're not getting absolutely pizzled. But yeah, great to see. I'm really looking forward to seeing Bruin with a bit more responsibility and without the sort of spectre of those other experienced players alongside, you know, him thinking, I don't want to get in the way here and those sorts of things. So,
well, he's going to actually, it might be game 33 or 34 for Tanner Bruin, but he's actually going to have to lead tomorrow night in a way.
He will. Well, I mean, Atkins will be the leader in the midfield. They'll throw in, obviously, Parfitt. I mean, he's got a point to prove. Mm. He's for whatever reason, his season has fizzled so far. He gets a chance to come in and, you know, reassert his position, at least give the selectors something to think about when they're picking the side down the track. But he's an experienced player. That's the thing too. And I mean, this is where Cats are set up, Kingy. I mean, who could lose their two best midfielders and then bring in a bloke who's been playing in the twos, who's, what, 25 and played 100 games? So they're not bringing in a bloke who's inexperienced. They're actually bringing in an experienced midfielder. And then you've got Tanner Bruin with 30-odd games under his belt, who's a first-round draft pick, who's expected to take up the slack. Well, he's in a position to be able to do that because he's got the grounding under him. So, you know, Cats, this is how they're set up to have another run at the flag by having this depth. And it's going to get tested in the midfield on Friday night. But I'm really looking forward to seeing how that sort of all plays out. Because, like I said, Richmond... I mean, can you tell me, Prestia, Taranto and Hopper, I know Prestia kicked some goals last week, but they're not really a goal-kicking midfield. Taranto and Prestia are very similar. They're okay. I mean, they get a lot of the ball. They don't necessarily kill you with it. Hopper's probably a little bit more polished.
Taranto.
Who's on after that?
Taranto and Hopper have kicked four and Prestia's kicked three.
For the season?
Yep.
And I reckon Prestia kicked two or the three of those last week.
Yep.
So they're not goal kickers, and I reckon it drops off after those three. I mean, who would be considered the next in line in their midfield? I mean, Cochin, they're trying to hide him any which way they can, including managing him out of the team. Mm-hmm. He's just not a factor anymore. Martin seems to be playing more forward. Up forward than on the ball. They might have to put him back in the middle. I mean, he can always turn it on, so you have to be wary of him. But I think their midfield drops off really quickly.
Bolton.
Yeah, well, Bolton's good. Yeah, I suppose he's good. I mean, Baker's been playing more back than on the ball.
Pickett.
But, yeah, Pickett's sort of an out wingman. He's sort of more of your... McIntosh. They're more wingmen than inside, you know, than midfielders. So, anyway, it's a really interesting battle for the Cats because they're sort of, like you mentioned, maybe at that critical mass of players out. But if they can... You know, roll Richmond. If they bring the same intensity they play against Adelaide, they'll be, let's put it this way, they'll be right in the mix.
It's a big game because if they can go 6-3, then you're three ahead of the ledger, if that makes sense. Well, it does make sense because you are three ahead of the ledger. But if you lose your 5-4 and you just come back to the muck a little bit.
That's the premiership 5-4.
Four, yeah. Like
they were last year after they trudged off against.
So they lost on a Saturday night
last year. The other thing too is how long can you keep winning for at this level? I mean,
they've won 21 of their last 24.
They're five on the dangle. It becomes more difficult. Are they? You'll say that, but then are they just in the zone and playing such good footy that they're able to cover, or do they? Are they due a howler as they had against Gold Coast? Because I mean, they've really only had one howler.
Yeah, they were competitive against
Collingwood. Were okay. Yeah. They were a bit off, but they were okay. Yeah. Gold Coast was a. I'm not sure what happened there, but the other games have been good. So are they due? Can they maintain the momentum? Are they just in that frame of mind like they were last year? I'm not suggesting they're going to go unbeaten, but are they just playing good enough footy? Because let's face it, Richmond aren't... They're not Richmond of 3-4 years ago.
No.
They're just going,
yep.
If that. What do you think of booing, Kingy? Boo!
If you want to waste your energy booing somebody, knock yourself out.
You pay your money, you can boo. Did you hear Jordan Lewis talk about it?
No, I didn't.
So Jordan Lewis... brought some sanity to this whole conversation. because, I mean, the more we talk about it, the more fans are going to do it.
Correct.
So it's just like you said, don't...
Horsey bite you.
Yeah, I'm going to do it all the time. Yeah. So without fail, it's just human nature to do the exact opposite to what people say. So the media talking incessantly about booing. Jordan Lewis on one of those
Fox
programs that he goes on, and I actually quite like listening to him. I think he's one that I turn the sound up to listen to. Others I turn it down, but if I'm watching it all, which I hardly ever do, but he sort of said that that it wouldn't have worried Buddy at all, and it was a natural reaction because Sydney had gone at Nick Daicos verbally and physically. That was okay. They went at him for no reason. So they were able to taunt him. They were able to get in his face and physically and verbally assault him. So Collingwood took that as a get...
lost.
Yes. And so they started booing what is perceived to be Sydney's best player. Had absolutely nothing to do with racism. He said Buddy, who he has a close relationship, couldn't have given a toss.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why. Do you know who we haven't heard from?
Haven't heard from Buddy, have we?
Correct. Because he couldn't care less. He just wants it to go away. And I mean, Eddie Betts coming out and saying if Lance Franklin thinks it's racism, we've got to stamp it out. We haven't heard from Lance Franklin, so don't speak for him. Hmm. This is what, absolutely. And because sometimes you have a minority opinion, it's not an accepted one, but I'm a bit tired of Eddie Betts coming out and talking on behalf of other people. Let's hear that from Lance Franklin. Hmm. If he thinks that great, don't be banging on about it, going off half-cocked, which he can do. And I'm a little bit over Eddie taking over things, and I thought he got way off the mark there. And a close friend of Lance Franklin's actually outlined why people were booing and the fact that it would have absolutely zero impact on Buddy, and that's why Buddy hasn't said a thing and why he wants it to go away.
He just wants to move on. Let's move on to some questions, Benny, off Twitter. Barry No Jocks, g'day boys. They need to get Radigalia's signature ASAP.
Yes.
If it means no extensions for players like Tui, Rowan and Smith, then I would still do it. No offence to those guys. They've been great. But a young key back is too valuable to lose for the future.
Oh, 174.74% agree.
It was raised at Chris Scott's media conference today. And Scotty, as he does when contracts, he goes, it's not my department. You know,
probably not. I mean, he'd be saying, let's re-sign this bloke. It's not going to happen, unfortunately, Geelong fans. You're going to have to wait until the end of the year, because if Radigalia maintains this form, he's probably at least comfortably in the top 10 in Geelong's best and fairest. And his price...
he'd be top five right now.
And his price goes through the roof. And his manager will be aware of that. What we have to hope as Geelong supporters is that his perception of where he fits within the club has altered dramatically from last year to this year, which you would have thought it would have now that he's a regular game. He can see a pathway. He's got a position. He's making it his own. He's 24. Geelong are going to be strong. I'm assuming he's got a good bond with guys around him. I know he was very close with Quinton Narkle, who's left. He lived with Brandon Parfitt. I don't know what his dynamic is within the rest of the group, but we just have to hope that he wants to remain at Geelong, but they're going to have to pay the price. And I do agree that if there's a couple of those older players,
I suspect Tui, this is the last year for a bunch of those blokes.
Yeah, and if they're able to push a bit of Bugs Bunny that would have gone into those contracts to Radigalia to maintain him at least on a 3-year deal, I'd be 100% doing that, because the ranks are thin in terms of key defensive players for the Cats in the Scooby-Doos.
John, how far is Menegola away from playing? It won't be till after the bye.
And I think, John, just right now, unless there's a lot of injuries, and some would say, well, that's exactly what's happened right now, I think he's going to find it difficult to get back in.
He's gone from being the All-Australian wingman, or should have been the All-Australian wingman in 21, to, it's all sort of gone away.
Well, it just goes to show, King, how quickly the landscape can change for a player. You get injuries, and then you get younger players jump in and take your spot. I mean, they went and recruited Tanner Bruin. They've got in Jai Clark, and I know they're slightly different players to Menegola, but they've moved Holmes, Isaac Smith. They've just got so many players that can...
Nevitt.
I know he's only played one game. I think Cooper White is another one. They're all in the mix, probably. You'd even say ahead of Menegola. I'm saying Cooper White, Mitch Nevitt, in that they want to get some games into them. So on talent right now, Menegola is certainly ahead, but they want to get some games into those young blokes, and there's established blokes who he's not going to get a game ahead of.
D-Buds, is there an update on Shannon Neal? Simon Lloyd did mention him in his updates he gave on the Saturday with you guys, and we didn't ask about him, but yeah, Shannon is sidelined after having ankle surgery. It was good to have Benny back.
Yes, thank you.
Maybe. Dave Twist, can we find out who at Geelong decided to go with this ridiculous short, medium and long-term injury crap? No other club does it, and it's a bit degrading to the supporters who want actual updates on players. I understand if they're waiting results, but most clubs just do a TBC. Well, the Cats were giving out weeks, and the players weren't falling into that weeks category, and people were getting upset about that.
We'll just overestimate. I mean, does it matter? I mean, I sort of get it.
Undersell and over-deliver?
Yeah, that's what...
Or oversell and under-deliver?
Oversell and under-deliver. I sort of get it. I mean, it doesn't. It's not something that really consumes my... I don't really worry about all that. When they're ready, they'll be ready. Whether they put one, two, or short-term or long-term, it's probably not going to make any difference to when they come back. I do get supporters do like to have a little bit of a target as to when a player might come back. I don't think there's anything wrong with the club doing that. Why can't they just put 2 to 4 or 4 to 6? And if it's not 6, they just come out at the end of 6 and say, look, he needs another week. I mean, it's not really rocket science.
Off Big Footy, Howler 41, best win of the season considering midfield missing Guthrie, Stanley and Dangerfield for a half, forwards missing Rowan and Stengel, defence missing SDK, Bowes, Jack Henry out of defence. When Dangerfield subbed out, I said to myself, stop talking to yourself, but also just said to win this, somebody needs to step up, and several did. Tanner Bruin had 5 possessions in the last quarter. He made them all count. A couple of clearances where he burst out of the stoppage, crucial goal.
Yes.
Hopefully the making of the man. Mitch Nevitt also had some important touches, taking a great contested mark and laying some big tackles.
Yep, I agree 100% with all that. What I like about Bruin, I do like Bruin as a player. I think he's got a bit of edge to him. Is that he's good finish around goal. He's a couple of clinical finishes, and he can kick left and right, which I reckon is not everybody can, which is astonishing at this level, but they can't.
The job Jake Colajasny did on old Creedence Clearwater Revival, also known as Fogarty, was superb. Normally something you'd see in the sealed section or on SBS at night, such was the spanking.
Was it sort of a heart balm type of arrangement?
Not bad from Howler 41.
Did you ever ride into heart balm?
I don't know what you're talking about, and I want to move on.
Yeah, heart balm when the truth?
Is that what it was in?
The truth. The truth thing. People used to write in with their little
situations.
Sassy stories.
Yeah. Right. Taylor Walker might have kicked 3, but Asava kept him to 7 possessions.
I only.
Move on, Benny. Credit to Segler. He's normally like a Grand Annual Jumps type arrangement, but he did the job on O'Reilly. How about O'Brien? He's turned right. Brian O'Reilly.
Well, I don't know that he did a number. I thought O'Brien clearly beat him. The thing that was a little... Well, not concerning, but with Segler, is that he didn't. I think he took 1 mark. He didn't mark the ball.
Hopefully, Parfitt gets the call up, which he
will.
Yep.
Looking forward to that big challenge for Brandon Parfitt. His season is going to go one way or the other, and I mean, tomorrow night won't decide at holeless bowless, but it will go a long way to, framing how he goes for the remainder of the year. If he comes in tomorrow night and has an absolute stink bomb, then. He is going to be on the outer going forward, I would have thought.
Cat to the future, would you say this is our hardest match yet, or is the media narrative on the Tigers being a basket case correct?
I think it's hardest game. It's hard to quantify. I mean, the first game was the hardest one against Collingwood, who were absolutely flying, and Cats were, pretty good for a fair portion and then fell in a hole. But it's probably the most, I'd say not the hardest game, I'd say it's the most intriguing game, because with all the outs... younger players are going to be asked to step up. It's probably the youngest side Geelong have fielded for quite some time, Kingy, I would have thought. If off the top of your head, how many guys would be under 24 years of age in that team that runs out tomorrow night?
Yeah.
There'd be a lot. Quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few. So it's an intriguing game. I don't know about the hardest because Richmond aren't at full strength. Lynch at one end, Tarrant at the other. They're big, big outs for them. And then obviously Nankervis in the ruck as well. That's a big out. So I'm really looking forward to a good challenge for the old pussy cats. What else you got, King?
No, I'm just thinking.
What are you doing?
No, I'm just worried that the cats.
You need to pull your pants back up.
You're an idiot. You are an idiot.
What are you worried about?
No, nothing. It's all right. Huh? I just worry that Yeah, that you talk about that critical mass. You love that saying that they're going to put themselves in a bit of. They just might be in a bit of a hole, Geelong, for tomorrow night.
Do you think? Hmm. Well, I'm not as pessimistic as you, but
you're going to be
tipping Richmond tomorrow.
I am.
You are.
Yep.
You've made your mind up already.
Yep.
Without even seeing the team.
Yep.
That's extraordinary. That is like picking a horse to
win.
Well,
we know what the Geelong team's going to be.
We don't. Well, we saw. Yeah,
we know it's going to be Clark and Parford in.
But you
for
don't
danger.
Know who's going to start on this as the sub. That could be crucial.
Oh, it could be pretty. Oh, Ben.
That could be crucial.
Oh, unbelievable.
Absolutely critical.
Foxdog 50, Benny, you're all over wanting Tom DeConing. Kingy, what is your view on him? Me personally, I honestly wouldn't be giving up too much for him. I'd take him, but not phase one bit if we don't do either. He's in his sixth AFL season, and yes, big men do take longer than big men, than little men. But I don't see his consistency in the AFL yet, so giving up anything more than a round one pick, which in my opinion is way too much, is his career AFL average. As you can see, most of it is all below average. I wouldn't move heaven and earth to get him, but if he's available, I'd be working away to get him.
I'd be trying to get him, yeah, if it's a possibility without sort of having to break any banks.
I think he'll thrive in the Geelong environment.
Thrive. Right. Oh, I mean, any player you would have thought would thrive in the Geelong environment. But, I mean, look, if it's a possibility and he wanted to come and you didn't have to pay him $8 zillion, then I think you'd be insane not to look at it, given that Segler and Stanley are the shortest of short-term ruckmen. And old Deborah Conway, well, he keeps tripping over his microphone. He's permanently injured.
He's not permanently injured at all. They're just taking it very
slow. He's got a foot problem.
No,
is that the same problem?
He's actually worked his way through that.
He's got another problem now.
What's he got now?
You said foot in your spiel.
That's what it said on the injury list.
How long did him? What was his term?
No, he didn't give me a term when I ran into him. He's back training.
Did you ask him? Did you say, when are you back?
Yeah. Well, no, I said, how are you going?
And what did he say?
Well, he hopes to play soon. But it won't be before
the bye. I
hope
to do a lot of things soon too, including...
Yeah. Right. Khan Katter's another solid win. Adelaide didn't go away, but it never really felt like they'd get there. Thought Bruin was solid, particularly late. Silky Simpson just makes things happen, and love that Air Sava dominated Tex. He's big and brutal, Sav. Love how he flies for grabs and throws his weight around. Filthy that close copped a week. Thought the argument that Dawson dragged close down with him rather than the other way round was accurate. Rio, regarding our recruiting plans at the end of the year, do they go for Duday? Seems like he's a type of player. Ex-Falcon, strong leader, reads to play well, very coy on Adelaide radio when asked if he was heading back to Geelong.
Well, I mean, if they're going to lose Radigalia, I mean, you've got to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. He was very good on the weekend, old Howdy Duday, and he's just sort of finding his feet. He's had a lot of injury problems, but he's having a really good season. And if Radigalia looks like... If the let's put it this way, Kingy, if the talks with Radigalia are... looking at sort of a little bit on the nose, then they need to have, a foot in another camp, and you would have thought it'd be a Duday, although Adelaide are going to be, geez, they wouldn't want to lose him, I wouldn't have thought. They'd be, given the time they've put into him and the patience that they've shown. So, one of those two options, keeping Radigalia or getting old Howdy Duday.
Daz Broncos, quick shot, Shannon Neal reportedly signed till 2025, no official word from the club. Chris Scott mentions on AFL 360 that Neal would have played to cover Hawkins in rounds 1-3. Neal still injured and not mentioned in any injury report. Very unclear by the club. I don't need specifics, and I get players have rights to privacy, but there is a mid-ground. Any info? Well, he's had ankle surgery and he's on his way back from that.
Yeah, that's what we know. He's in the injury basket. What term is he?
He was
more medium term, was he? So that's sort of medium rare.
Oh yeah, I feel like a steak right now.
Do you? What would you wagyu?
No, I like just a good porterhouse.
Do you?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, porterhouse. he's listed as to be confirmed.
Oh, the old 2DBC.
TBC. Right. Ledger Cat. Cats are cruel by injuries and outs with danger games ahead. What round can we expect to get back near our best 22? Also, what is the mail on Toby Conway? Well, we just spoke on that. Woody, how far away is he from a debut? Would he start AFL as a ruck, or can he hold down other positions while he builds his body in tank? Nah, he's a ruck. He's a genuine...
He's on Jurassic Park 8.
Yeah, he's a genuine ruckman, and it won't be this year. Best 22, I reckon...
They reckon that he's emotionally constipated.
What?
He hasn't given a shit for days. That's just something that I heard, Kingy. You might not follow that up when you talk to him.
He's fairly laid back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very laid back customer.
They call him emotionally constipated.
Best 22, I suspect probably the Bulldogs game will have everybody, unless there's more injuries, expect by the Bulldogs game at, under the roof at Marvel to be in fine fettle. The Cats, and Cats has just logged on. Jai Clark's debut just announced. Surely they don't start him as a sub like they did to Cooper White. If you're going to play a kid, put him in the 22, give him a proper go. Thoughts? Is every chance he'll be the sub?
You reckon?
Yep.
I hope not.
Well, Chris Scott wouldn't rule it out. He didn't say he'd be in the 22. He didn't rule out him being the sub.
Oh, well, there we go. Got
it's not ideal. I just don't know why we just don't play.
He gets the full match payment, though.
Do you know what? Why don't we just play 23?
Well, we should, but he gets the full match payment.
Yeah. Anything else, Benny? 6 o'clock tomorrow night. Punt Road. We'll be parking at that end of the ground.
Yes, we will, King. I'm actually up and about tomorrow night. I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Should be a good crowd. Early bounce too, 7:20, so don't get caught out by that being a Friday night game that they've pulled the bounce forward half an hour.
Yes.
And we're on air from 6.
What did the elephant say to the naked man?
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.